I want to make sure the education piece is important. When I say education, I mean me learning about the kid and the kid learning about us.
On this episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast, we are joined by Coach Michael McDuffie, the head men's basketball coach at Greensboro College. A Greensboro alum and four-year starter, he ranks top five in assists and games started in program history. He began his coaching career at Western Guilford High School, spending 6 years there before taking over at Caldwell Academy. While at Caldwell, he led the team to a 19-7 record and a conference title. He then coached at High Point Christian, guiding them to multiple playoff runs. And in 2022, Coach McDuffie returned to Greensboro as an assistant and became interim head coach in 2024. His team found late season momentum and made the conference tournament that year. And then his path through high school and grassroots basketball has built a foundation of player development and leadership. In this episode, we talk about his first welcome to coaching moment, his first 24 hours as interim head coach in mid-season, and how coaching at the high school and grassroots levels helped him to be ready for a head college coaching position. Please welcome to the podcast, Coach Michael McDuffie. Dr. Dish Basketball is revolutionizing basketball training with the number one selling shooting machine in the world. Our innovative systems are the only training solutions that deliver more reps, motivation, and fun, empowering coaches and players to elevate their game faster than ever before. Featuring advanced analytics, immersive game-like features, and an easy-to-use interface, our state-of-the-art shooting machines are the preferred choice for progressive teams worldwide. Appreciate all the coaches out there. Thank you for tuning in today. And on deck, we have a great conversation, a newly appointed head coach. But first, Alan Major, Doug Caputo here, back with another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. Today, as I mentioned, the new head coach at Greensboro College. You can see the GC on his polo. McDuffie, Coach McDuffie, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
You got it, man. Man, that intro sounds good, Mike.
That intro sounds newly appointed.
It has a nice ring to it for sure.
Oh, man.
I appreciate it.
No, you got it, man. Glad we're doing this.
And then once this first season's underneath your belt, we'll get rid of that newly appointed, then we'll come back and ask you, what did you learn from all of the mistakes that you made the first year? Because everybody always talks about that first year is always, there's a lot of ups and downs to it. But the first thing to jump into is, of course, we always like to learn how and why people got into coaching, but especially there's always that moment that kind of transitions you into it. Do you remember that first like aha moment or welcome to coaching moment that really helped you not only feel like I want to get into this, but also grow later on?
As far as my welcome to coaching moment, it started early on for me. Obviously, we all have people that we look up to and we come after. My father was my first coach. And oddly enough, in high school, the guy that coached me in high school, he coached my dad. So I had an opportunity to learn under those two excellent examples and then having an opportunity to play under different coaches coming up. But the welcome to coaching moment, oddly enough, I didn't understand what the grind was, what that looked like as far as coaching college basketball. So I remember graduating from college, sitting in my apartment, trying to figure out what's next. And I'm not going to mention the school, but I wound up applying to a school for a coaching position. And I remember calling my head coach and I said, look, I applied for this job. What do you think? And he probably doesn't remember this, but he laughed at me on the phone. And he said, Mike, that's not how it works. So the year after I graduated, I was on staff here at Greensboro College as a volunteer assistant. But I say I didn't know. I thought it was just, hey, you coach, you see it from a player as a player, but you really don't understand it until you're in it. And I didn't know what that looked like. So I was working full time at Volvo Trucks North America, the corporate center off 68 in High Point. I was doing that and I was working here as a volunteer assistant. And again, I'm expected to perform at that job, but then also come here, do film exchanges through the mail. It wasn't electronic at that time, doing laundry practice. So it was a lot for me. It was. Again, I didn't understand what it was like. So I had to make a choice and I wound up shifting over to the high school level. But I would say that would be my welcome to coaching moment, just a wake up as far as what it was like at the college level and all that needs to happen and the sacrifice that I wasn't really ready for at that point in time.
That's such a unique background, man. Like your high school coached your dad, then your dad coached mm-hmm. you. Was one of those two the first one that kind of, was it organic, like you wanting to maybe coach, or was it, did one of them suggest it to you at some point, or was it like, when did you first get that nudge to want to do it? Did it come from one of those two guys, or how did that come about?
It came from both, but obviously I had an itch probably going into my senior year in college. Obviously talking with my father and just seeing how he navigated through coaching and how he handled not only me, but former teammates, friends, and that type of thing. So again, just good examples. But for me, I wanted to figure out what it is that I wanted to do. I had a bunch of different things that I had on my mind. At one point, I wanted to be an athletics director. At one point, I wanted to teach and coach. So it was just being able to be in the gym and stay close to the game. Obviously, I was okay, but you can't play forever. It was figuring out what's next. And that's kind of the direction I wanted to go in.
It's crazy, too. I have to say, there's a lot of times we'll have conversations like this with people and we'll ask them, why did you get into coaching? What led you into it? Things like that. A lot of times people say they didn't want to. They didn't mm-hmm. really know anything about it. And that's fine, because you don't really know the flip side of the coin. You don't know the business. So it's hard to say you want to get into something.
Yeah.
But the toughest part is, especially for like student athletes, this is a conversation I'm going over right now with a couple kids that have graduated. They're like, I don't know what I want to do with the rest of my life. And I know you just mentioned it, like you didn't know what you want to do. You have a couple different avenues. I feel like that's something big that coaches can maybe start to do. I know that's adding more on people's plate, but help people find careers and stuff like that post-graduation, because at least now, depending on, of course, the level, the resources you have and all that, I feel like a lot of athletes have no idea what they want to do, because all their mind is, their whole life is just basketball.
Yeah, and I like to say it was an unconventional track, because when you talk about college basketball, right, everybody, the conventional way to do it, you're a manager, you go and get a GA spot. If I can go back, that's probably something that I would have did, but obviously I knew. But I wouldn't trade it. I was able to do a number of different things leading up to this point. So I'm big on not making basketball my end all be all. You see a lot of coaches that if you take away basketball, there's nothing else. And I try to preach that to the guys. Don't just be about basketball. What else are you about? What else can you do? So I've had that opportunity to work in government contracting. Obviously, I work for Volvo Trucks North America. I was able to teach. So I've dabbled in a number of different things from a full-time standpoint that if I didn't coach basketball, I'll be fine. Now, do I enjoy it? Yes, absolutely. I love where I am. Love the job. It's just getting started, but it doesn't feel like work to me. But if I had to step away, if something were to happen, I can go and be productive and support myself the way and my family the way I needed to.
Yeah, that's a great message, man. Usually I think whether they want to hear it or not, I think the end of the sophomore year, maybe at latest, maybe end of the junior year, if guys have one more year, depending mm-hmm. on where they stand in your program, it's a good sit down to have with the kid, or maybe the kid and their family, conference call, whatever it is, because I used to say in recruiting, like, and I'd say it on unofficial visits, we mm-hmm. have the whole family in my office, don't just get a degree, get an education. And getting an education is usually going to be something that you're sincerely interested in, that's going to lead you down the path of something you enjoy, as opposed to, I just got a degree so I could finish out and I just want to stay eligible and get the job done. I got a degree. That's great.
Yeah.
It's a big difference between a degree and an education.
Yeah. And those conversations, especially going into this year, like those are conversations that we'll have weekly. Obviously, I'm not in a classroom with them, but I want to make sure that, and this is cliche, all coaches say it, I want to make sure they cross the finish line, but not only cross the finish line, but have something meaningful. What are you trying to do with that degree? I want you to know you're coming in as a freshman. I want you to know what direction that you want to go into your junior year. So when you leave here, you know what it is that you want to do. You have a plan of action, and I'm a part of that as well. I'm not big on being an office coach. I'm going to meet them where they are. Like you may see me out on campus where their classes are in the cafeteria, because I don't think our first interaction needs to be on the basketball court in between four lines. So I think that's part of it, having those conversations aside from basketball. What else do you have for me? What else are you looking to do? Because at the end of the day, you want to put your degree to use. You cannot play forever. So those will be ongoing conversations, because I want to make sure that they have some peace of mind outside of basketball as far as what their futures look like.
Leo, the best part of this is why I was so excited you got that job. For the people listening, Michael played at Greensboro. So this dude has been around. He's seen every stitch of grass on that campus. And so the reason why I loved it the day you called me, I was actually taking a walk.
Yep.
Downtown Indy. And you called me because you were getting ready to call your mom and tell her. I never forget this. It was so cool because I just said, I was going to come down and crack some heads if they didn't give you that job, number one. But number two, I'm like, this is perfect because nobody's going to care about that more than you.
Yeah.
Like you literally walked the path that all these guys are walking or about to walk, literally.
Right.
So nobody's going to care about that place more than you. That's why I thought it was such a great choice. And I love the fact that already you're thinking long term, big picture, because again, the ball does stop bouncing for us all. And I will say this, you don't sound like a guy that's only been a head coach for 3 months, because there's been guys that head coaches for 30 years that don't talk about that stuff. So the fact that you're already headed down that road and that's your plan, that's big time.
I appreciate that. So it's something that's how I was brought up. My parents instilled that in me early, just having a plan and being forthright and intentional with what it is that you're trying to do. And it's the same thing that I preach to our guys. I think the education piece is very important. I tell people all the time, it's not a gimmick. It's not something that I'm just saying just for show. I was an educator. My wife is an educator. So things that we see and saw, like, it's going to be in my program, and we live it in our house as well. Those things are important to me. And I think it's a direct correlation of what you do on the floor as opposed to what you do off the floor, how you handle your business and go about your day and that type of thing.
I always like to say to, especially like the seniors or and the seniors especially, but then you watch the first year freshman or a new guy comes in, usually freshmen, sophomores, they are watching. I tell the seniors all the time, they're watching every step you take.
Yep.
You don't know it. They'll never say it. But you start to notice, and then and vice versa, the coaches, the seniors have been looking, and they start to act like you over the 2, 3, 4 years that you had. Now, if you can have people nowadays for 4 years. But it's weird because, like, after I graduated, I was like, that doesn't make sense. I looked at my head coach, and I'm like, you could definitely see, I'm not saying you're the same person, but you get some minor tendencies, maybe some things you say are similar. It's crazy how you can change into the people you're around so much.
Yeah, and that's something I put emphasis on. Have a lot of new faces this year. The biggest thing for me is getting the right people in the program. If you look on my social media, you'll see something that says pride pressure. Now, when you see that, you probably think, oh, defense. No, it's more than the defensive side of the ball. I want us to put pressure on the rest of the campus on this is how we operate as a student athlete. This is how we operate in the classroom. This is how we operate socially. And I want everybody in our athletics department to put pressure to me as well. And I think it bodes well. It elevates everybody. There are people in our athletics department that have great minds doing positive things. So I look at that as positive pressure for myself. Like, I'm trying to get to that point, whether it be team GPA, whether it be what we do on the court, what we're doing in the community. So I just think of it as a way to elevate not only our program, but everybody else. So that's basically what that means. But just having the right people that are about the right things and obviously setting the tone from day one. So it's something that's sustainable in the next 2, 3, 4 years.
Yeah, no doubt, man. No, I love it. It's hard enough to beat the other team by 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got to compete against your own team to try to handle things right day to day, and then try to go beat the other team by 1 point when the game starts, that's going to drain you. It's going to wear you down.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. People are going to feel that, like the fact that you've already planted that flag in the ground as far as how you want your guys to carry themselves. Mm-hmm. It's great because you're literally starting out the same way a lot of these new faces starting out. So you're all kind of doing this together.
Right. Right.
Yep. It's not like you got nine guys returning from last year and then you got to switch their brains up and the previous coach recruited them. And so you're together, which is great.
We have quite a bit of guys returning. I think we have 8 off of last year's roster. So there's still some familiarity there, but obviously you got to get some guys in, guys that fit. The biggest thing for me is I like competition and I want us to be about that. And again, not just out here. I want you to walk into a classroom and I want you to compete to be the best in that classroom. I want you to compete to be the best socially. Are we doing the right things? Are we going about our day and treating people a certain way? So that's competition for me. And I think I think it encompasses a lot more than just what we do on the floor. I think if we do the stuff off the floor, on the floor, take care of itself. But it's about building those habits and going about that consistently every day. So it's something that, again, is sustainable going into the next couple of years. So
that's great. So let me go. You guys just touched on this, so I was going to ask it later because it's definitely something that's pivotal to talk on. But so you said, and I know you have been in this school, or you have been at the school, you played there as assistant. So you obviously have seen before, right? Sometimes I'm talking like first year head coach, you just step into it. First couple months.
Yep.
For people who maybe haven't seen it, or at least for your case, for you who have seen it prior to, what are you looking to keep? And then what do you look to, at least personally, like what is your opinion on what do I look to keep and keep tradition going? But then where do you draw the line and then cut and then build your own traditions as well?
So the biggest thing for me is who are you outside of basketball and what do your habits look like? One of the things that I do in the recruiting process, and it starts with that, I don't call the head coach. I don't call the head coach. I don't call the U coach. The first thing I do is I email and call teachers. And the reason why I do this is because teachers paint the full picture as far as who that person is. All right. So I'll ask things like, how do they move through the halls? How do they interact with female students? Do they sit in the front of the class? Do they sit in the back of the class? Now, are these deal breakers? No, but I want to paint the picture of who you are. So when you do get here to campus, I know what I'm dealing with, aside from the basketball piece. So again, when we talk about tradition and who to keep and who to bring in, those things are important to me. Is it great to win games? Yes, but I want to make sure that whoever that I bring into our program is not causing issues. They represent me, our program, their families in a positive light, and then everything else will fall into place. From a basketball standpoint, it's simple for me. I want competitors. I want guys that don't run from competition. I want guys that run to work, because let's face it, you're going to compete your whole life. That's just what it is. I think all of us can agree that we've competed for something, and it's going to continue to be that way, whether it could be jobs, grad school, whatever. So you have to compete and work to get in certain areas. So I want guys to get in that mindset and have a worker's mentality to put your head down and go after things. But those are the type of people and kids that I want in the program. And those are all things that they can take with them once they leave us and then have a lasting impression moving forward.
A lot of people won't know this. They may, but that's NBA level background checking. Seriously, like the fact that you're going to teachers and getting, that's what NBA guys will do with college and high school people. Same thing. Cause when you're paying someone, and it's even different because a lot of guys they're paying to still come play for you in terms of Division III, it's a different deal, but still you got to know what you're getting.
Right.
It's flipped in the pros. And you're talking clearly before OKC took SGA, they probably had to figure out, all right, when you're calling the Clippers and what kind of guy are we getting? Clearly, he's proven that he's earned $72 million a year based on this latest contract that he signed. But from a background perspective, that is really good because how you treat people that can't affect your future is a really big deal. The coaches are going to, my kid, he's great coach. You're going to love him. Okay, maybe. But what's the algebra teacher have to say?
Yeah. Right? And I tell kids all the time, be the same all the time. Are you going to be something different when you come around me? If I were to walk through the hallways at your high school, how are you acting? Are you cussing up a storm? Are you being disrespectful to teachers? That's not something that I want to deal with. I don't think no coach wants to deal with. So what does that look like? And do I have enough information to proceed with a young man? Now, this year is a little different in a sense that when I got it, you got to move forward on some things, had some other ways of getting those types of information. But generally, that's how I like to go about it. I think in an age where everybody's, especially at our, people throw out offers like it's candy, but I want to make sure the education piece is important. When I say education, I mean me learning about the kid and the kid learning about us. So when they walk away, there's no unanswered questions and you feel good about us and you can make an informed decision, however that may shake up. I think with the recruiting piece, if we're doing what we're supposed to do on our end, we're offering the right type of information and we're showing who we are, because that's a big part of it. So just not holding anything back there. So again, the family can make an informed decision to move forward from there.
So I got to ask, like going back to kind of reverting back to your high school year. So I know you started in the grassroots, you started in the high school coaching. Yep. Is there anything, we'll say, really any like tidbits, anything you take from coaching at high school that you're bringing and you still think back that is part of your, if you want to say, routine or your coaching style, your coaching philosophy? Is there anything that you learned like in your younger years or at the high school grassroots levels that you kind of transition into your role now?
I realized early on how much the relationship piece mattered. I had the opportunity to lead teams early on as a 22, 23 year old coaching AU and obviously at the high school level. You think it's just let's get a whole bunch of talented guys and let's go play. But I started to
see. Sounds good.
Yeah, it sounds great. But getting to the root of who they are, what they're about, who their families are, what they're about. So I took an interest in that early. So guys that I've coached my very first year, I keep in contact with today. And it just doesn't have to be basketball. Some of them have really good jobs, own companies, married kids, that type of thing. So just to see that transformation. And then also from a skill development standpoint, just seeing guys grow through the course of time, it's something that, again, I took a hold too early just to see guys advance from there and the part that you play in that.
Yeah. No, that's good stuff, man. Now, there's few things sweeter than a conversation with a former player. That's one of the sweetest things in our business, man. I literally had one yesterday, hour and a half from my very first Division III coaching job, which would have been like back when Coach Naismith invented basketball. Yep. But just an hour and a half, you know, the dude's doing great.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the thing that I hope people pull from this as they listen to you, you got a lot of clarity. Sometimes when you first get a head coaching job, you're trying to sort it all out and what's going on. I think what helped is that by you having to take the job mid stride last year, and we can dig into that as we move forward. But I think that was, it put in a healthy way, a gun to your head about how you want things to look, because you needed clarity amongst chaos.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and so that's the number one thing to battle chaos with is clarity.
Yeah.
And so midstream, you had to find something to find the handlebars as fast as we can.
I think you gotta, I tell people all the time, you have to walk in expectancy. Did I think I was going to be a head coach now? No, but I didn't start preparing to be a head coach when I was named at the end of April. So every experience, whether it be positive or negative, you learn from them. So what do I want this to look like? How do I want to carry myself? Even from the first day I started coaching, those are things that I developed over time. And I just think the delay was just more time for me to craft who I was as a coach and what I wanted things to be and how I wanted things to be. So it's just preparing before you get there. It may sound cliche, but just having a plan in place and learning from every stop and every experience. A lot of people may say you're at the grassroots high school level. Make no mistake about it. There are a lot of guys at the high school level that would be excellent college coaches. I don't forget that. And I don't forget the fact that I was once a high school coach. So I don't think you can ever lose perspective. Like, I don't want to be one of those guys that, hey, I'm a head coach now and I'm not available or that type of thing. Somebody helped me. I don't forget the level where I started. I don't trade any experience. I wouldn't trade any experience that I've gone through because I think it shaped me and molded me to go through what I went through at the end of the season. Just not forgetting and staying consistent with that.
Yeah, you got the recipe. You definitely have the recipe. So I want to ask this, though. Like you mentioned the networking piece.
Mm-hmm.
You could say for your current position, you could say for throughout as you were growing in the years, right?
Yep.
Like you mentioned how important networking, how important it is to be able to get out there, shake hands, meet different people. Like what were some of the best ways that at least you went about it? And how did you meet other people?
I think coaching at the grassroots level, it helped me a ton. I started here locally with the Greensboro Warriors. And then I moved and transitioned to Team Felton, which was an Under Armour sponsored AU program. Excellent program, heavily noted for getting kids in school. That was the intention, giving kids an opportunity to obtain a free education and go to school for free. So that experience, the 4 or 5 years that I was with them, I was able to meet a lot of people. But I think the biggest thing is being intentional, and every interaction can't be met with some type of expectation. I think a lot of people go into something expecting something to come out of it. So for me, when I talk to somebody, I wanted to be intentional with who I talk to and do the person that I'm talking to, how do they aid in where I'm trying to develop and grow? So I have to be intentional as far as I'm trying to grow in on offense. Who am I going to talk to that can give me something offensively? It might be culture. Who can give me a background in culture and what that looks like? Navigating as a first-time assistant. Who are the people that I can talk to that are going to aid in how I'm trying to grow and develop? So I think oftentimes people just go out and I'm just going to shake as many hands and boom, he's going to give me a job next year. No, that's not how it works. I think people can sniff out something that's not authentic. So for me, I've always just tried to be myself. I'm big on I think I've made my mark by doing right by kids and doing right by people. And I put a heavy premium on how I treat people, my interactions, and how I present myself. And that's not just college coaching. That's who I was as a kid growing up. It's something, again, my parents instilled in me. Those are values and things that I take moving forward. And I think it's bode well for me. And it's something that won't change. It'll continue. And it's something that I want to rub off on our players as well.
I can vouch for everything you just said, because you called me for the very first time. This probably would have been September or October 2023. And it was you had some advice. You were just asking some questions, but it was intentional. It wasn't just, hey, yeah, I'm a Rising Coaches member, and can you get me an interview with Hubert Davis in 2 weeks? No, you didn't do that. You had some advice, very intentional. Some of the questions you asked, you didn't burn up an hour and a half of my day. Yeah. You got right to it. And then we stayed in touch.
Yeah.
We eventually met again at the clinic in May 2024.
Yep.
And we had a bunch of conversations along the way when you were prepping for the job and just interview stuff. So you have been exactly what you just said. And that's why I feel so proud to say this. And it's great for people listening to hear that. Obviously, we're in a microwave society. I was lucky enough this summer to go to Europe for 3 weeks and work two camps in Italy and one camp in Poland. And a few people text me like, yeah, how can I do that? And I was like, the relationship with these people started 4 years ago in September of 2021. So this wasn't like alakazam, you're on a plane to Europe. Yeah. Like this took some time.
Yeah.
You have reflected everything you just said as long as I've known you and dealt with you. That just drives home everything that me and Doug talk about out here all the time. So that's good stuff, man.
Yeah.
No question. No, the toughest part is, as you said, nowadays is being genuine. And I think everybody, you hit the nail on the head. Everybody thinks they have to immediately, like, I have to go find this new job. They see your friends' social media. I know we talk about that more than enough, so I won't go down that rabbit hole again. Like, you see the instant gratification. You're just like, I want to get this job. This guy I know just got in the NBA. How do I get an NBA gig? And it's, yeah, but you don't have the same connections. You haven't done the same work. There's so many different things. It's not an easy business to grow in. You definitely got to do your work. And it shakes the hand of those who do. That's for sure.
And it's something I had to learn. It's something that I had to learn. Early on, I was very concerned with where I wanted to be, and I wasn't where my feet were. Mm-hmm. So I had to take a step back and just focusing on taking it day by day, treating every day like a one-day contract. Like, what can I be better at today? What do these conversations look like? But again, being genuine about it. And like you said, just keeping up. Obviously, I want to be one of those guys. Hey, when you need something, that's the only time you hear. And obviously, I know we get lost in life and things like that, but I don't have a crop of people that I reach out to. The circle is very small because I'm big on who are the right people that are about the right things that have my best interests. College basketball is a cutthroat business. It just is what it is. So I take value in identifying people that are about the right things, that have a genuine interest in me, and but also something, people that I can help and lean on and be something to, whether it be now or later on. Those things are important to me. I think you got to have those people in your life. I don't think any of us get anywhere by ourselves. You don't wake up in the morning and just know everything. So you have to have people, the right people in your corner to lean on and bounce ideas off of. So I think I have a good network and good crop of people that I go to time that have helped me tremendously. Whether I secured this position or not, I still can put head to pillow at night knowing that I had good people behind me that kind of supported me.
Yeah, love it, man. I got to ask you this because we talked about it, but I want you to share it with folks. This is getting back to the clarity amongst chaos thing. And obviously you had to take over before the season ended because your head coach had to transition into administrative leave and things of that nature. But when you first found out you were taking over, there's always that moment of, ooh, okay. And so just talk about your mentality for that first 24 hours when you first get the call. Like, hey, Mike, we need you to step in and finish landing the plane here. Just talk about that first 24 hours and how did your mentality shift?
Well, I didn't have time to think and stew in it. Everything happened quickly. I think the biggest thing for me, one of the things that I've learned over time is to be very deliberative, knowing what obstacles are and what can I do to prevent issues and come up with solutions. So at that moment in time, obviously there was a lot of moving pieces. Like I didn't have an assistant coach. It was just me and our trainer, Erin. She was very helpful. Our trainer, she stepped in and helped and did all she could. But for me at that moment in time, the basketball part was secondary for me. I wasn't too concerned with wins and losses. I knew there were bigger issues that needed to be addressed. So the biggest thing for me was, one, how were the guys mentally? Were they able to navigate everyday life as student athletes? Were they okay in that regard? The second thing was I wanted to make sure that we were enjoying what we were doing. We're not a Division I program. We're at Division III. Why I'm coaching, why they're playing, why you guys do the things that you do. One of our core values is joy. I don't want them to lose sight of why you play basketball. And I think at the Division III level, you have to have a certain level of love and joy for this. We don't have all the bells and whistles. So you have to come in with that already embedded in you. I wanted to focus on bringing that aspect back. And we ended up doing some positive things. And obviously from a basketball standpoint, at that point in the year, it's hard to switch over a whole system. So there were tweaks here and there, some things we did offensively, some things we did defensively. Did it look the greatest? Absolutely not. I'll be the first one to tell you. But I just wanted us to get in a space to where we were enjoying things. We were playing a little bit and the guys could have somewhat of an experience to finish the year out. So those were the things that were important to me. And honestly, securing the job, it was the last thing on my mind simply because we all know this business. You never know how these things shake up. The biggest thing for me is I wanted to just put my best foot forward, make it about the guys and their experience, let the chips fall. So that's where I was.
I love that mindset because whether you knew it or not, your interview started that day. Now you eventually had another one in front of the committee and all that where you're in the room, but honestly, quiet as kept, but your interview started that day. But we spoke a few times when all that was going on. And again, I loved your approach with it because, again, it was there. There's no owner's manual for that stuff.
Yeah.
Who you are and the consistency of who you are as a person really shone through. And I think that obviously was a huge feather in your cap when it did come formal interview time. But
yeah.
But now I think it's great for people to hear because that may happen to somebody listening to this pod. At some point where they got to step in and take the wheel.
And there were sacrifices, right? Like I don't think I slept for a good month. And which a lot of people don't understand, like I still was working outside of this. So I'm married. I have two girls. I was a full-time teacher. I was coaching here. So at that time, I'm doing all of that, husband, father, teacher, run practice, laundry, budget stuff, making sure the guys are fed, travel, game planning, practice planning, all of that stuff going on at once. So for me, you prioritize. My family was great through the whole thing, just supporting me and keeping me sane, my wife especially. But yeah, it wasn't easy, but I think I had to go through it. I think it was positive in a sense that now I feel like I can do anything because I did everything all at once. So now I get the opportunity to have some other hands and breathe a little bit. But yeah, but that experience, I wouldn't trade it. And I didn't understand it. I didn't understand it at that moment in time. Really didn't think about it at that moment because there was so much going on. But yeah, I think it bodes well for what I aspire to do and how I handle certain things moving forward.
Yeah, one thing's for sure, you're going to be a willing delegator. So when it comes time to do the staff responsibilities, yeah. it's gonna be crystal clear, man. You're gonna know exactly what to take off your plate and what to keep on. But no, that's so good, man. I knew this was gonna be a great pod because again, number one, your character, but you just had such a unique journey in just a very short period of time, 12 to 18 months ago. You were like had a lot of questions. Yeah. Some of our conversations mm-hmm. were really surrounding a lot of questions going through your mind.
Yeah.
And you were really transparent about that. It just goes to show you, and I hope, again, people listening, just understand stuff can change on a turn and you just don't know. It's like you tell guys on the bench, be ready for the moment that is coming, but you may not know it's coming, but be ready for the moment that's coming and you don't know when. And as coaches, you've done that. And personified. So,
and I think all of those things, all of those experiences, all of those moments, I needed those. It crafted one, who I was, but two, what I see for our program and what I'm trying to be moving forward. If I don't go through it, it doesn't force me to think different or see different. I tell people all the time, like my philosophy, core values has changed a bunch. Somebody said to me, I think I had my portfolio and I showed somebody and she said, 'cause you knew this was going to happen. I said, no, I didn't. I said, I've been working on this for about a year and a half. And she looked at me like, no. So I didn't prepare just right now. Did I know it was going to happen? No, but I think you have to set yourself up for it, for where it is that you're trying to go, but also maintain that intentionality also. That's the business. That's how it goes. And I'm fortunate. I understand where I am. I understand this in which all of this happened. I do think I have a little bit of favor, but I tried to go about it as best as I could, prayed about it, and just left it in God's hands at that point.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Before Dougie lands a plane, the best part about this pod, and you never know it, that's why it's stuff you go through, how it, like you said, it molds you, shapes you. You never know. Your story may be somebody else's survival guide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You never know who that's going to be. You never know when. If it just hits one person the right way, it's all worth it. Obviously, if it's 5,000, 10,000, that's great too.
Yeah.
But if it just hits one person the right way and they say, you know what, let me gut it out just one more day because of what that guy just said. That's all we're talking about. So, yeah, man, love it.
No, we appreciate you for being on here. And as you said, everybody has a different story. Everybody has a different path. You had a up and down roller coaster. And I feel like a lot of people have roller coasters, but nobody wants to talk about the downs. They want to talk about the ups. And yeah. It's great to be able to share that so that people in hoping to get in your seat can actually hear your side of things, experience it, because there's more than enough downs. There's more downs, I would say, than there are ups. And you only talk here about the ups. No, it's good. And thank you for sharing everything. Looking forward, paying attention to Greensboro College. That is going to be now on the radar. You always got to have a couple schools in the back of your head. Greensboro College is going to be that school. Looking forward to what you guys have to do and have to grow going on over there.
I appreciate it. Hopefully we're going, like I said, just take it day by day and focus on the process and things needed to sustain and move forward. Just take things as they go and just, like I said, a day at a time.
Yeah, no, and stack them up. Stack as many as you can as row as possible.
Absolutely.
Thank you. And for everybody out there, that is another episode, the Rising Coaches Podcast. Again, Alan Major, Doug Caputo, keep working and keep rising, coaches. We'll talk to you all soon. See you later.
Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines. I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.